to Psalm 13. Don't look at it. Don't turn yet. Wait a minute. I don't want you to go there yet. Don't open your Bible yet. I want to ask you a question. Do you ever feel like God's hiding from you? Do you ever feel like you just can't find God? And you know He's here, but He seems to be hiding. Do you ever feel like when you talk to God, you just want to say, God, have you forgotten me? How long are you going to forget about me, God? I don't think you see what's going on here in my life. How long, God, are you going to hide your face from me? I need to see you. How long, God? How long am I going to live trying to figure things out with my mind? Living from my soul, from what I think, what I want, from my logic. How long am I going to keep living from what I feel, from my emotions? How long, God, is my enemy going to be exalted over me? How long am I going to keep feeling like failure, depression, guilt, shame? How long is my enemy going to be exalted over me? God, please, open my eyes. Show me some hope, because I feel like I'm dying. Do you ever pray this way? Do you ever feel this way? God, I'm afraid my enemies are winning. I'm afraid I'm losing. I can almost see them in the corner laughing at me, saying, ha, we won. We took them down again. How long, God? David felt this way, and this was his prayer. Let's turn to Psalm 13. That was exactly David's prayer, Psalm 13, verse 1. How long will you forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemies be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Lighten my eyes, open my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Do you feel like you're dying spiritually? Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But, before we go to the but, do you feel that way? Do you sometimes feel that way? Yes. See, David's emotions didn't change before he wrote the next line. How he felt did not change before he penned the next sentence. David made a transitional choice. I'm not going to live by what I think. I'm not going to live by what I see. I'm not going to live by what I feel. But the just shall live by faith. Right. And David goes on to say, but I have trusted. I have trusted. I made a choice to trust you when I can't see you. Trust you when I can't feel you. Trust you when it seems like everything in my life is hopeless. I'm still going to trust God. Trust what about God? He said, I'm going to trust in your mercy. See, David was saying, my enemies are prevailing against me. God, I say I'm not going to gossip, and I do. God, I say I'm not going to hate, but I hate this person. God, I say I won't lie, but I got trapped, and I lied before I even thought about it. God, I say I'm not going to drink, but I drank. God, I say I won't, but I do. God, my enemies are prevailing, but I trust in your mercy. Amen. God's mercies are new every morning. Amen. God forgives us continually. He is never fed up with us. Amen. And David made a choice by faith to say, I trust in your mercy. My heart will rejoice in your salvation.
Amen.
Is your salvation or is it his salvation? Are you trusting in earning it with your good works? Are you trusting what he did? It's done.
Amen.
He took all your sin to the cross. He died to pay for your sin.
Amen.
It isn't how cleaned up you can get. It isn't how good you can be. It is what he did.
Amen.
David said, I don't like what I see in my physical mirror, but I like what I see there.
Amen.
I'm trusting what he did,
Amen.
Not what I do. He made a faith choice.
Yep.
When I feel all this, I'm going to choose to trust in what you've done, not
yes.
what I'm doing, not what I'm not doing, not anything about me. He said, consider me, God. Consider me, God. Where is God? Where is God when you think he's hiding? Where is he gone? Is he everywhere or did he leave? Is he hiding from you? Or is he trying to get you to see him in a new way? You see, I love that quiet place. I love that intimate place where I'm in his very presence and I can almost feel his breath or smell his sweet fragrance. Or I don't even have to have words. I just feel this love and this peace and I know he's there. I love it when I pray and he instantly answers. That is so cool.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever done that? Prayed for something and bam, there it is. Yeah. Harvey and I went to bed saying, oh no, man, we don't have milk for the baby in the morning. We don't have bread. We don't have, oh my gosh, there's like $20 worth of stuff. And it's too late to go to the store. We were in Texas. Everything was closed. I mean, they rolled the streets up early down there. There is no 24-hour Myers anywhere. And we're saying, we forgot to even pray. And we went to sleep saying, God, we need milk and bread. And I mean, we need about $20 worth of stuff, but milk and bread we need when we wake up before the store opens. And we woke up in the morning.
Nope.
We didn't go.
On the door.
Oh, we got the same night? See,
yeah,
I got a bad memory. Senility.
We said amen.
Went to the door, and there was a bag with milk, bread, and a $20 bill hanging on the doorknob.
And nobody there.
Don't know who put it there. Instant answer.
Exactly.
I love it. I love it. I love it when I'm going to pray for someone in prophecy. Oh, it's right there. I go to pray, and I say, oh, God, what would you say to Harvey Hampton? And he says, brother, I know that your truck broke down, and I'm sending somebody that's going to fix it for you. I love that! And then it happens immediately.
Right.
Awesome, God, it's so wonderful. I don't love it when I say, what do I pray for this person? And all I hear is dead silence. No answer. I don't love it when I went to bed needing milk and woke up and there wasn't any. And God said, drink juice. No, nobody said drink juice. I drank juice because there wasn't milk. And I'm going, but I prayed, and he knows I need milk. And you know what? I didn't die because I drank juice instead. Did not die. We don't always need what we ask for. We want what we ask for. But where is God when you can't find his face? Where is he when you can't trace his hand? Where is he? What's he doing? Maybe he's changing you. Maybe he's changing how you see him, how you perceive him. Psalm 16, take a look at verse 16, chapter 16, I'm sorry, verse 11. God, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. David had a burning, hungering desire for the presence of God. And yet so many times David was discouraged. So many times David fell into sin. You know, David committed adultery, and he wanted the woman, so he got her husband murdered so he could have her. David committed a sin, Harvey told you last week. God said, do not number the people. David said, 1, 2, 3, 4. He numbered the people, direct disobedience. A plague fell, thousands died because of David's disobedience. How many?
Over
7,000 people died. 70,000 died because David was disobedient. I hate numbers. I never get them right.
I know it. That's right.
I got this one right, strike two. Be careful. David was a man after God's own heart. This is a man who loved the presence of God, begged for the presence of God, sought the path of God in his life, and yet he was a murderer. Yet he was an adulterer. David, God said, David, don't lay up horses or wives. That means don't collect a bunch of army horses for war and don't have a harem. What did David do? Harem, army horses, exactly opposite of what God told him to do. And what do? Sometimes we don't follow the instructions he gave us and then we whine about what happens. Maybe he's hiding because we're learning something. Maybe he's hiding because he wants us to find and discover him in new ways, different ways than we've known him before. I knew God first in a very personal, intimate way. I was so shy when I got saved. I've told you, I went to church late, sat in the back row, went home early on purpose so no one would speak to me. I didn't want to make a friend. I was terrified of people, absolutely terrified. I skipped school when I was growing up because I was terrified of the other kids. I was terrified of the teachers. My mom would drop me off. Actually, Mom didn't drop me off. We walked to school, and I went in the front door with my sister and brother, and it went right out the back door. From the time I was old enough to do it, I skipped almost 5 days a week of school. I went every Friday and took the exam so I would pass. I didn't mind the schoolwork. I was terrified, terrified of people, terrified of kids, terrified of adults, and way terrified of men. How am I going to get to know God? Seeing him as an authority father figure, I had no concept of a father figure. I was terrified of people. So when I met God, it was all me and God, just me and God. For years, I'm alone. Presence of God shows up. He fathers me. He heals me. He loves me. I like this, but I still don't want any people around. And then God began to say, I'm going to hide from her because she needs to know me and other people. Say this 100 times, and I will say it 100 million more before I die. God is a multifaceted diamond. Every person ever created reflects a different facet of God. If you want to know more of God, you have to know another facet of God. First, you need to know God as your own facet. He says we behold him as in a mirror. And that's because you look at God. You come into his presence. You are looking into that facet of God that you were created in the image of. And you're going to get to know him in that way. That's intimate. That's one-on-one. That's how you can fully understand God, because he's just like you. You're just like him. Everything you like about yourself, everything you love that you know is in you that's good, it's just like that facet of God. Everything you don't like is the dirt on the mirror that he's washing away. But once you really begin to know God and you're comfortable with who you are in God and you're having this good, intimate relationship between you and him, learning to like yourself and really love him, then he says, don't you want to know me better? Yes. Well, why don't you look into another facet of my diamond? Because it's living inside of another human. I didn't like getting to God, know God that way. That was really scary. I could never have done what I'm doing when I first got saved. I couldn't even stand in front of the church and breathe. I was terrified. And now I stand in front of you and talk. I talk to you one-on-one. I have some communication with you. Most every one of you in this church will know you don't talk to me one-on-one very much. I'm still scared of people. I'm still afraid of people. Harvey says, let's go talk to so-and-so. Okay, you go talk to so-and-so. I'm going there alone. I'm still scared of people. But I do it because I want to know God. And I want to release God. But what if God wants you to stretch out in another way? And some of you are sitting out there going, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. I love people. I love to know everybody. Harvey, I mean, this guy would just die if he couldn't meet 5 new people every week. He lives to meet people. He thrives on people. Tana and Harvey don't think they can hardly pray if they don't have people all around them. They are just people people. But what if he wants you to get beyond who you are and how you know him and find him in another way? Something that's not familiar to you. God made himself present in so many ways, so many reflections of God. We get stifled into what we're comfortable with and we don't want to reach outside of that. But God wants you to grow, and he wants you to know him. David said, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. There's a path for your life. There's a path right now for your next step. There's a path you have to walk. I had a dream. No, I didn't have a dream. I was wide awake. I had a vision last week. Sometimes I say dream because a vision feels just like a dream, but you never fell asleep. But it feels just like you're in a dream. So I was just worshiping God, and I started having a vision. And I probably should look back because I haven't read it for a couple of days, and actually forward, it was after this. Oh, yeah. Okay, now I remember exactly where I started. I had this place when I first started coming to God for healing where we were under the tree. He was the daddy. I was on the blanket with him, and I was safe. Eventually, as I got more healed, I'd get off the blanket, get hurt, run back to the blanket, run back to daddy. I only knew him as my daddy. But over across the field was a river, and Jesus stood in that river. And I became aware that God was trying to raise me internally to become a mature enough person to go to Jesus and partner, become the bride of Christ, to partner with him in a mature relationship. I wasn't ready for it. Parents, you are supposed to ready your children for that. If you don't, and they go get married, man's looking for a wife, oh, I need mommying, please mommy me. She's not your mommy.
Right.
Women getting married, I still need a daddy. He's not your daddy. Your partners and your parents were supposed to get you ready for that. If they didn't, and by the way, none of them did, we're all weak, handicapped in some ways. No parents are perfect. None of us are really ready to be the bride of Christ. That's why God takes us as our daddy, and he begins to father us and mother us and raise us. But I knew all along there would come the day that I needed to get off that blanket. Several months ago, God kicked me off that blanket and said, you're grown up now. You can't keep running. You can come to me, but you come as a woman. You're not a little child now. It's time to move out. Last week, I realized how far I had moved from the blanket. About halfway from the blanket to the river, I had dropped in the sand and couldn't get up. I'm just down in that sand, and I can't stand up. And Jesus, in my vision, left his river, and he came to where I was, and he picked me up. He carried me, and he started walking toward that river. And I'm thinking, oh, yay, the river again. You know, I remember the river of God. It's all laughter and fun and dancing and everything is wonderful. But when it got to the river, I never felt it because he held me up above that river. That's an important statement. He held me above the river. I didn't feel the excitement. I didn't feel that flowing water. I didn't feel that rushing life. I didn't feel all those things that we got in that river move. He held me above it. And he carried me across the river, and he sat me down on the other side. It was time to cross that movement and stand on the other side of it with him in maturity. There we danced. There we enjoyed each other. And there he pointed to the horizon, which was all glowing orange, and he said, there's your path. There's your path. Go to it. And he walked me up to a blazing, burning, fiery forest with one little opening. And he said, there's your path. And I said, you're going with me, right? And we're going to do this together, walk into these burning trees. And he said, oh, I'll be there, but you're not going to know it. You're not going to feel it. But I will be on the other side waiting for you. He said, well, you go. Well, and like we do if we're consumed with God and he's our life. I said, yes, not knowing what it would mean. And I stepped into the path, and the fire shut behind me. There was no way to turn back. But as I began to walk that path, I could almost see through the fire Jesus on the end of that path with his hands outstretched saying, come on, you can do it. Come on, come to me. The grace will be there. When you come through this fiery trial, I'm there waiting for you. And this is this verse. God, show me the path of life, because that's the only place where I'll find your presence. And in your presence is fullness of joy. I'm reaching for that right hand. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. I entered the fiery trial knowing he was going to hide from me again, because down that path is his presence outreached waiting for me. And I'm consumed with his presence. I live for his presence. You know, some of us say, what about my house? Don't I deserve to have a house? Don't I deserve to have a car? I mean, if God loves me, why do I get sick? God loves me, why did my baby die? God loves me, why did my dog die? If God loves me, why? Have you ever considered that's not God? That's all the enemy? Well, how would you get through it without God? Because you're going through it anyway. You want to go through it with God? You want to go through it without God? All those bad things are going to happen in life because Satan is the prince of the power of this world. And he will test and try you and beat you up and accuse you. And you will feel like David crying, God, where are you hiding? The enemy is winning. No, he's not. Not of inside your heart burns the desire for the presence of God. It doesn't really matter if you didn't have a house. We think as Christians in America, we're entitled. We have been taught an American Christian gospel of prosperity. God wants to bless his children. He's a king and you are a child of the king. And God just wants to give you wealth to show the whole world you're a child of the king. Garbage. Where was the wealth in Jesus' life?
There you go.
Where was his diamond ring and his pink caddy, huh?
Yeah.
You have a right that your Father will feed you. You have a right your Father will clothe you. You have a right, because you're a child of God, to be taken care of and provided for. You also have this right. You have the right to give up your rights. You have the right to give up all your rights like Jesus did, like Paul did, like Peter did. I know I have a right to live in a house. I don't care if you don't give me one. I don't care if I live in a cardboard box. Whatever will bring you glory.
Right.
I give up all my rights for the passion of the presence of God. And what does it matter? When you get to heaven, the last shall be first and the first shall be last. You know, that should make us all want to run out and live in a little shack. We get a bigger mansion in heaven. Little shack for this long. Mansion forever and ever and ever. Where's your heart? Where's your rewards? Where do you want your blessings? Here or there? Some men don't get to have a wife. Jesus didn't get to have a wife. Paul didn't get to have a wife. And yet God said that a man and a woman should be joined together and become one flesh. And in most cases, a man needs a woman to join to him to become, you know, complete. What would they do without us, you know? Actually, the two, what his weaknesses are, all those weaknesses in him, all those weaknesses in her, when they put God in the center, they fill each other and become one completed being. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Jesus didn't get it. Paul didn't get it. They didn't get children. I don't think I ever really understood unconditional love, sacrificial love, love that would die and live and give until I had a child. I don't think I understood how you could feel that for another person until I had a child. Jesus didn't get to have a child. God the Father in heaven only got one, and he sacrificed him to the cross to pay for our sin so that he could buy all of us to be his children with the blood of Christ. If you have ever tasted and seen how good the Lord is, it's chocolate. Anyone here addicted to chocolate? Denial is. That girl's chocolate crazy. I mean chocolate, the chocolatier. Joy Bassett, if you know Joy, her husband Doug, I've never seen anybody love chocolate like Doug. He'll go out and order the double-double chocolate, death by thunder, you know, thing. It's got double-double chocolate with chocolate ice cream covered in hot fudge. I'm like, oh, I'm throwing up watching him eat it. You know, that's just overboard. But chocolate is addictive. Caffeine is addictive. Cigarettes are addictive. Drugs are addictive. But I'm telling you, if you've tasted of God, that thing down inside of you, that starving, craving, hungering thing down in your gut that says, love me, want me, understand me, heal me, that craving is only filled by Jesus.
I know it.
He's the only one. And once you've tasted him one time, and he's touched you there, and you got filled one time, you go, oh my gosh, I've never felt love like this. You're addicted.
That's it.
You're addicted. You'll enter the fiery forest voluntarily, even if it was painful. You give up everything, everything, that you might be in that presence and feel that touch again. And we're going to live in that presence for all eternity. All eternity. billions and billions and billions and billions of years. I met one person in my life, the most negative person I have ever met, Uncle Tal. Janiyah called him. His name was Al. She said, Uncle Tal. He was the most negative man I ever saw. I mean, his mouth was hanging down every minute. I am so unhappy. Why, Al? Have you ever really thought about heaven? What do you mean? Billions and billions of years. Boring. We're going to be sitting in a little cubicle with nothing to do. I'm like, oh my gosh! Somebody is depressed about going to heaven. Try hell. Is that exciting? God is a creator. He created this earth. Look around. Trees, birds, animals. Look at the different faces and personalities in the room. God will never stop creating, ever. Never. Right. We are one little tiny work of God. The whole world, everything that's ever happened in this world, is one little speck of an idea God had one day. My husband goes nuts with my dreaming, don't you? We can barely get out of one venture before I'm off into the next one. I've got notebooks. I've got diagrams. I'm designing stuff. I'm planning the next business while this one is still a albatross around our neck, you know? We're going, how are we going to get out of this? And I'm going, I don't know, but as soon as we do, I want to open this Christian cafe. You know, I got this great idea for it. You're going to love it. And I'm all excited. I'm going to create these cups out of my art. And I'm going to go and I'm going to learn ceramics. And I'm going to paint modern art in the cups and have them baked in the oven. And I'm going to have a bar. This is so cool. You know how everybody likes to go to the bar and tell the bartender all their troubles? We're going to have a bar. We might do it in this room. I don't know. We're going to have the biggest bar you ever saw. It's going to go like this. Giant. He's looking at his wallet going, oh, she's after it again. Big bar. Big bar. And I want a display of all these Holy Spirit painted cups. Or some of them that Roxanne and I buy. We haven't used them yet, but I don't forget. We buy them everywhere. We pray and we find all these cups. And there's going to be all these cups. And when you come in this bar, you're going to come to the bartender to pour out your problems. But the bartenders are all Holy Spirit counselors.
Yep.
So they can really help you and pray for you. And you're going to pick a cup. And I'm going to say, what cup would you like your coffee in? Because I love coffee. We're going to have all these flavors of drinks and coffees that are really cool. And I'm going to say,
non-alcoholic.
What would you like your coffee drink in? And you're going to look at the cups and you're going to go, I don't know why, but I like that one right there. And I'm going to pull it down and the Holy Spirit's going to say, her grandma died. And when she drinks out of this cup, it's going to make her feel like she's with grandma again. And I'm going to minister healing to her about losing grandma while she drinks that coffee. And you're going to pray for her and bring healing to her heart from that loss. That's my next dream. With some other things, but I won't get carried away because we could be here all day. I only told you one out of millions. We have boxes full of my dreams. God's a creator. Heaven isn't boring. He's going to be creating things we can't even imagine. We don't even have the ability to imagine the stuff God is creating every day and planning. I think he's got the next 5 billion years planned. And only he could do that and keep it in order. But I can't wait. When my grandson was, I'm probably wronging that number. You know me with numbers. But he was little. And we're laying outside looking at the sky. And he said, Grandma, do you think someday I could help God paint the sky different colors? I said, yes, I do. Because you want to. And because God's creative enough that someday he'll make a world and he'll change the color of the sky. And I think you're going to get to help him make up those colors because you want to. The things in your heart you want that are good, God put them there.
Exactly.
He put them there.
Exactly.
There's nothing in this world that's going to fulfill what you want but God. Nothing but God. You will be miserable until you connect with God and let him have your life to do what you're created to do. And that's only this one life, this one world. We have billions of years of creativity ahead. Now, what difference does it make if you broke your fingernail today? Grow another one. I know people that are that upset over breaking up. Oh, I've grown this for 6 months. It was perfect. Get over it. Have kids and break them all. That's what happens. That's where they'll go. What I want to encourage you to do is stretch. I just want you to stretch. I want you to know God in some different way than you know Him right now. That's my challenge for you. You know what? It might be a wonderful thing. You might find God on a rainbow. I'm not a nature person. My sister was Miss Nature. I mean, she'd go out in a boat. She'd say, her husband didn't let her go to church. See, she's married to a guy who was insanely jealous. He wouldn't let her go grocery shopping without him. He let her go to church one time after I led her to the Lord, and she put on makeup. And he said, you're never going again. You're just going in there to flirt with those men. He wouldn't let her go to church again. So she never got to go to church. But she found God in nature. And she would tell me, oh, Sue, you should be out on the lake, and you should have seen this cloud, and you should have seen what this. And I'm like, no thanks. There's bugs out there. There's bees out there that sting. There's dirt out there. I'm not an out there. I love windows. I like to look at it through a window. I don't like to be out there. We have an indoor swimming pool because I like to swim, but I'm not getting in a lake. There's seaweed in there. So I'm an indoor person. I look out. Do you know what? Come spring, I'm going to go out because I'm missing God. I'm missing God. My sister found God in a way I didn't, and I need to do that. I want to encourage you to look at Psalm 19 for a minute. Isn't it easy today? We're just flipping one page at a time. Everything's easy to find. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies declare the glory of God. The firmament, the sky, it shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night shows knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Do you know that even people in another country have no preachers, have no Bible, can find God? Because He speaks to them through whatever source is there, through a tree, through the breeze. Have you ever heard God speak to you through the breeze? I sat in my enclosed windowed in sunroom. What do you call that? Sunroom? I opened the windows, you know. We have screens, so bugs can't get in. Opened the windows, and I listened to the breeze. I like nature, filtered. And I listened to the breeze, and it was like the breeze actually, I swear, it began singing a song. Honestly, there was a tune in the breeze. And I said, God, are you singing to me in the wind? And I listened, and I felt like I could hear music in the wind. It was totally awesome. And when it was done, I just felt so refreshed, so alive, so happy. No words, no understanding, no explanation. Now, there's times He's given me prophecies with the wind, and I actually felt the wind change direction. It was blowing from one side while the thoughts in my mind were telling me about something that God had, from the left, as He was telling me something He had already done. And suddenly the wind stopped. And it began blowing from the other side as my thoughts began telling me what He was getting ready to do. That's prophecy. But He was prophesying through the wind. My thoughts were coming as the wind changed directions. God is so awesome. Are you bored? Plug in. Find out what's going on. Look at verse 4. Their line is gone out, or their measurement. This is the measurement of what God is doing here. Their line has gone out through the whole earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices like a strong man ready to run a race. Is that exciting words about nature? If that doesn't excite you, get out in nature and ask God to speak to you. Better yet, because I think He was talking to me. Some of you probably already enjoy nature more than I do. Some of you probably do that. What I want to challenge you to do is one little thing, and I think it will revolutionize your life. I want you to ask God, what is my path? What is my path? And you know, God might say, I want you to do something really hard. I want you to do something you don't like. I don't want to do that. When I asked you what is your path for me, I expected something exciting. And you gave me something boring. You told me to go and punch tickets at a movie theater, and I wanted a good job. Ask him, what is my path? And follow the instructions he gives you. Because he is the reward at the end of that path. Knowing him in a new and exciting way. His presence in a new way of revealing himself to you is at the end of that path. Maybe you don't see him because, is it nearsighted or farsighted when you can only see what's close? Nearsighted. Maybe you're nearsighted. I'm looking for him in the Bible. I'm looking for him in his church. I'm looking for him in my pastor. I'm looking for him in my daughter. I'm looking for him in my children. I'm looking for him in the ways I've always known him. Well, maybe he's trying to get you to look up, look out, change. Maybe you're going to start a new job. Maybe you're going to play worship music you never dreamed of before, something weird and strange and different. Maybe you're going to get up here and preach. I'll let you. You come right now if you want to. Maybe you're going to make friends with an enemy, a neighbor you don't like. Whatever it is, take that step. Because his hands are reaching out, saying, come on, I've got something different for you. I've got something different for you. For some of you, it's going to be, there is nothing different. I want you doing what you have been doing. This is it. I know you were hoping I was going to excite your life, but I'm telling you, keep doing what you've been doing. And you're going, oh, no, I like the different idea. Right now, you get to do what you've been doing. If that's his plan, you're going to find him in what you're doing. I've said this before. I had a period of my life where I had to take care of an invalid. I had to clean really bad, nasty toilets. I had to clean up things I didn't want to touch. I'm not a nurse in any sense of the word. But for a couple of years, that's what God chose for me. That's what I had to do. And I didn't know it would be over in a couple of years. It could have gone on for 10 or more. Some people that does. I began finding God in the worst things, in realizing the worst thing you have to do, turn it into praise. Turn it into praise. God, I'm cleaning this toilet for you. Oh, look how horrible that is. That's how wonderful you are. I'm doing this as praise unto you. Whatsoever you do, do it as unto the Lord, not unto men. Make it your service to God. And the worse it is, the better you can feel about doing it for God, the closer you'll get to him. You don't know how to read. You don't know where to read. You don't know how to take what you read. Start off your year. I know we're already 20 days into it. Start off your year by going to the proverb that is the same number of the day that it is. Today is Proverbs 20. And don't just read the word. This will change your life. Pray the word. Pray the word. Read through the chapter one time. Mark the verses that stand out to you. And then go back and pray those verses. In Proverbs 20, you will find things like, it is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. God, do I meddle? Pray it. Ask God. Do I meddle in other people's business? Do I? Please forgive me if I do that and help me remember not to do that. Let's find another one. Verse 11. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work is pure and whether it's right. God, examine my works. Are they pure? Are they right? Are the motives of my heart right? Why do I do what I do? Please expose to me why I'm doing what I'm doing. And is it what you want me doing? Help me do it with the right attitude. Help me do it with the right heart. Don't just read the word. If you will pray the word, examine yourself by the word, ask God to make these words yours, it will change your life. You may not feel it the day you read it. You may not feel it the day you pray it. You may not get milk on the doorknob tomorrow morning, but it will. You look at your life 1 month after doing that every day, and you will see change. If you don't see it, ask your mate. They will have seen change. Yeah. They will, because the Word of God is quick and powerful. sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting and dividing your spirit from your soul. Soul is your mind, your emotions, and your will. Your will. It will divide that from the spiritual, which is the real you. If you will bring that word in and pray it in, God never refuses an invitation. Never. You pray, God, do this in me. He's going to do it. He's not an Indian giver either. He doesn't let you be an Indian giver. Changed my mind. No. Once you ask him to do it, it's a done deal. He's doing it. Every purpose is established by counsel with good advice. Make war. Every purpose is established by good counsel. God, who are my counselors? Who should I counsel with? Who should I talk with? I have a great idea. I want to do this. Who should I talk with? I sideline to the cafe. There's going to be this children's resale shop, you know, same building. I don't know the first thing about a resale shop. I don't know how to do that. So I've been asking around, and I found someone with a successful resale shop who told me of a computer program called Consignment Pro. We'll walk you through how to set that thing up and how to do it. So research, counsel, find somebody who knows about the thing you're considering and learn. God, help me find the right counselors. Give me the wisdom I need. That's my challenge to you. Be willing to open your eyes and see something different. Go to the Word and pray it into your life. And ask God to lead you down the path that He has for your life this year. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the people that are here that love you, that hunger for you. God, we do hunger and thirst for you so much. And words are words and knowledge is knowledge and it's all wonderful. But what we want in store for is your presence. Because just one moment with you changes us, Lord. And that's what we're hungry for this morning, a moment with you, a moment of your presence, a moment that you would reveal yourself, manifest yourself to us. Father, there's many people here that are hurting emotionally, some physically, some mentally. I'm asking you this morning that you would flood this room with your presence, that you would touch people who need to meet with you today. I'm asking you that you would quicken your word as they seek you daily and that you would change our lives. We do not want to see this church look the same a year from now as it does right now. God, I want to see you shake this place up. I want to see you do something wonderful and new and something that draws people in here that are hungry for you. Change us, Lord, in this year. Change us, Lord. We just love you, Lord. And we thank you for your never-failing mercy in the name of Jesus. Amen.